Hello. I thank all of you for coming out this morning. I'm very happy to see all of you here. And I know that our Lord and Savior is very pleased that you're here this morning. You've made him very happy for coming out today. That was a beautiful song. That was pretty. Made me think of a story I read about when Jesus was born. And the shepherd said that there were angels that were singing. And the story that I read, the shepherd said that they were out there in the field and they had their campfire going and everything. And some of them were asleep, but then all of a sudden there was this light and it covered everything. And they said it wasn't like the sunshine. It wasn't like the moonlight. It was different. But it made everything appear alive. And then they said this music came out of heaven and it came and it crashed down on them. And they said it came and crashed and it rolled on out and it hit the hills and it flipped up in the air and came and crashed down on them again. And it was this heavenly choir. And that was like that. That was pretty. But the song that they were singing was "He Arose." And in heaven, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, there was music like that. That was just amazing. All of the angels in heaven were singing just like that. Just all happy and joyous. That had to be awesome to hear. I want to hear them sing like that all around me and just surround me. Because sitting right here, I could feel the, as they were singing, then the words were coming out. You could almost feel the words hit you when I was that close. It was nice. So thank you very much. This morning, he wants to know what we believe. Jesus wants to know, what do we believe? What do each one of us believe? What do you believe in your hearts? What do you really, truly believe? He asked me that question about a month ago. "Sean, what do you believe?" And I tried to answer him and everything, and he goes, "No, really." He goes, "In your heart, what is it that you believe? Do you believe in me?" And I said, "Yes, I do believe in you." And he goes, "Really?" "Yes, I do, Lord." He goes, "Do you believe everything that I said?" I said, "Yeah." And then he said, "Then why don't you do it?" And I came up with all kinds of excuses immediately in my head, but I didn't say it, as to, well, I couldn't do this because that, and, you know, things get in the way and all of that. And I didn't have any excuse. He knows what I believe in my heart. He knows what I profess to believe. And he knows that at times that I don't do everything that I say that I believe in. And he wants me to fix that. But he also wants me, and he told me, he says, "I still love you." Which made me feel better. You know, it's like getting chewed out by your dad and then having him tell you, "I still love you." That it makes you feel better. It's kind of like, you know, when you have kids, and when my girls were little, we could go places and talk to them, and they would believe anything that we told them. I mean, you could tell them all kinds of stories and make up stories about, you know, this person and that person and all make believe stuff, and they believed it because we were telling it to them, and we told them, "Yeah, this is a true story, you know, you got to listen close," and they'd believe it, and they loved it. They thought it was so cool, and they believed because we told them, their parents. You know, he's our parent. God, the Father, he is our parent, and he loves us so much more than we can understand, more than I could ever explain to you, the love he has for us. And that's one of the reasons why we're here this morning. Some of us are here because it's Easter, which is great. He's very happy. Some of us are here because it's Sunday, which is great. That makes him happy too. And I think that there are some of us that are here because we believe like a child. Everything that he's told us. Let's turn to Luke. I don't know how all of this is going to turn out today. Well, I never know how it's all going to turn out. But hopefully, he will be willing to help you understand. I will do my best and let him take control. The 18th chapter of Luke, starting at the 15th verse. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. What I get out of that is that if I don't believe like a little child believes his parents, if I do not believe what Jesus Christ said right here, like a little child would believe, I'm not going to make it. If I don't believe what he has told us in the scriptures, what he has written in our hearts, with the faith and belief of a little child, I'm not going to make it. You just got to give it all up. All the doubts, all the naysaying of the world, all the negativity out there. You've got to just throw it all away and pretend you're a little kid again and you believe. Turn to Mark, the 9th chapter. Starting at the 36th verse. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. You got to be like a little child. Don't doubt. Don't doubt in the miracles and believe. Turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter. We'll read the same story again from a different man's viewpoint. Starting at the first verse. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Again, we have to believe like a little child, but we have to believe. Do you believe in all the miracles that he did? Do you believe that he was resurrected, like it says? Do you believe that he appeared unto his disciples and apostles after he was resurrected and showed them all the things that had happened? Do you believe that he did it because he loved us? And do you understand that love? Do you really understand how much he loves us? How much he's really willing to forgive us if we ask him to, sincerely, wholeheartedly, like a little kid that knows he's done something wrong and just is crying and just wants a hug from his parents? Is that how you feel when you're repentant? Like a little child that's sorry? That's what he wants. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds and our thoughts. He knows what we believe. And he knows why we're here this morning. Let's turn to the first book of Samuel, the 16th chapter. Now, this is when Samuel's getting ready to anoint David as king of Israel. He anointed Saul as the first king of Israel, and Saul was a man that was like 6 foot tall. Okay, he was head and shoulders above everybody else in the country. No one was as tall as Saul. Okay, at that time, most of the Israeli men were around 5 feet. Some of them a little bit shorter. The women were shorter than that. Okay, so here's this man, Saul. He's the king. He's tall. He's good looking. All right, he looks like a king. And then God tells Samuel, he's not going to be king anymore. You're going to go anoint somebody else. And he tells him, you go to Jesse's house and I'll show you who it's going to be. So go on down to the 7th verse of the 16th chapter. Okay, because he's seen several of Jesse's boys come by and he's like, well, surely this one and surely that one, God. And God's going, nope, 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 none of these. And even, you know, starting the 6th verse. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then he went through all the rest of the brothers and he kept on, nope, nope, not none of these. And finally he's like, is there anyone else that you have, any other boys? And Jesse's like, well, yeah, David's out in the field with the sheep, but he's just a little kid, you know, he's nothing. He's just a sheep herder. Lays around all day out in the field and plays his music and, you know, he's got his head in the clouds and he's not going to be the one. But sure enough, it was David, little short, red-faced, freckled David. That's the king? Yeah. Because God knew what was in his heart. God knew that he had faith like a little child to do the things that needed to be done. God knew that David was going to be able to go up against Goliath with faith and destroy him. He sees what's in our hearts. He doesn't look at us from the outside, but he looks at us from the inside. I got two pieces of rock here. Okay? This is granite. It's called blue pearl. Doesn't look like much. Okay? It's just a rock. But God knows what's on the inside. He sees it. It's beautiful on the inside. But we have to take it and polish it so we can see what it looks like on the inside. But this type of rock is out there in the world. And there's all other kinds too. If you could walk through a granite warehouse where they make these slabs of granite, you would be amazed at the things that God has made. And he sees all the time. And we can't see it. Because it's on the inside. It's in our hearts. He sees what's in our hearts. I'm going to hand these out. You guys can pass them down the rows and look at them because it's amazing. Especially if you look at the edges, you'll be amazed. It's like, well, it looks like another ugly black chunk of rock. So look at it. Okay, let's turn to John, the 11th chapter. We're going to talk about a man who was resurrected, because it's Easter. I guess that's why we're talking about it. Maybe it's to see what we believe in. His name was Lazarus. He was a friend of Jesus Christ, him and his two sisters. Jesus loved them like no one else. They were very close to him. I am going to imagine and assume that they were his friends before he started his ministry, that he knew them. Probably might even have grown up with them, but he loved them like no one else. So John, the 11th chapter, I'm starting at the 23rd verse. And Lazarus is dead. He's been buried for 4 days. He's in the grave. His sister Martha has come to Jesus and she wants, you know, she wants Jesus to take care of it. Jesus saith unto her, this is the 23rd verse, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Well, I know that, God. I know that everybody's going to rise again in the resurrection day. Sure. But he's telling her, no. He's going to rise again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I don't know if she believed it or not. She said she did. She said, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. All right, so she went and she got her sister. And then they went over to where he was buried. Let's go down to the 40th verse. And he's already had them roll away the stone. She's telling him, he stinks, God, or Jesus, he stinks. He's been in here for 4 days and it's going to stink. And he says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? He's not just saying that to Martha. He's saying that to me and to all the rest of us. If you would just believe, you will see the glory of God. If we will believe in Him, we'll see the glory of God in all the things that surround us. We will see His beauty in everything that He has made. And if you look at it and you see it, it's going to lift you up. And you will be able to get through the rest of this day with God's love in your heart. But you got to believe that He made all this because He loves us. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. And when He thus had spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And there's reasons why that's all in there. Talks about the way he was all wrapped up and that he had a napkin over his face. There's a reasons for that, because he really was dead. They don't do that unless you're really, really dead. That's part of it. These people, they saw it. And they heard what Jesus said. So they could believe in their hearts like little kids. And I can imagine when they saw it, that they became little kids again, all happy. Because they realized at that point that God truly did love them like He promised. That it wasn't just a story their parents had told them, but it was real. That's what He wants us to get into our heads. Turn to Mark, the 8th chapter. They believed Him because of the miracles that He did that day. He did a lot of miracles. And He kept asking His disciples that were following around, do you believe in me? Do you really believe in me? Do you believe that I am who I say I am? Starting at the 29th verse. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto Him, thou art the Christ. And He charged them that they should tell no man of Him. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And He spake that saying openly, and Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him. But when He had turned about and looked on His disciples, He rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. He didn't want Jesus to die. He wanted Jesus to live and do something different than what Jesus was going to do. Peter wanted Jesus to be a different Jesus. He didn't want Him to die. He wanted Him to fix things now here on earth. He wanted Him to make it right for the whole kingdom of Israel. He didn't quite understand and He didn't quite believe at that time. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You have to believe. Otherwise, not only is he going to be ashamed of you, but you will be ashamed of yourself when you're standing there in front of him. And we will be begging for the rocks and the trees to fall on us and cover us up, that we won't have to stand in his sight, be in his presence because of the shame. He was trying to tell the people, I'm going to be crucified. It was prophesied by David, by Isaiah, by all of them. They all talked about it. They all tried to tell the people, the Savior of the world is going to come, and God in the flesh, Emmanuel, is going to come down and be crucified. And none of them wanted to believe it. They kept saying, no, that's not going to happen. That can't be true. Just like Satan is trying to tell everybody, I don't really exist. Don't worry. You can go to church today and you don't ever have to go back until Easter of next year if you don't want to. It's okay. Don't worry. I don't exist. Jesus loves everybody the same, and he's not going to condemn anybody to hell. Don't worry about it. That's Satan. Jesus is saying, if you don't believe in me and the things that I've told you to do, I'm going to be so ashamed of you. You're going to break my heart. And I'm going to have to turn away from you. Let's turn to the ninth chapter. We'll start at verse 1. Miracles. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you, that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. That Elias was John. They didn't understand. Peter still didn't get it. He didn't know how to believe like a little kid. just yet. All right, 14th verse. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Everything is possible if you believe. Everything that he promised is possible if you believe. Here in this church, we have had so many miracles performed by Jesus Christ. He has done so many things for us. And when it happens, we're happy and we tell each other, we testify of it in prayer service, at sacrament service, sometimes even in a preaching service, someone will stand up and say, I just have to let everybody know this is what God did. And then we go and we leave and we go and we tell our friends at work, we tell the rest of our family, tell the people that we go to school with, and they're like, yeah, right. Do you really believe that? And you're like, well, yeah, this is what happened, and this is what they prayed for, and then this is what happened to me, and Jesus did it. Don't you think so? Well, I don't know. You don't really sound too convincing to me. And so they start chipping away at what you really believe in. And they start convincing you that, well, it was the doctors, it was the medicine, it was just that time that you were going to get that phone call and get that job, or it was, you know, you just happened to jerk the steering wheel to the left and you missed the car and you didn't have the terrible accident. They have all kinds of excuses as to why the things happen, because they don't believe at all. And they don't want you to believe either, just like Satan. But you have to let them know, like a little kid, yes, he did. He did all of this for us. Each and every one of us in this room has a testimony of what Jesus did for us. It's not just the stuff written in this book. It's what he does for us all the time. And we have to share it, but you got to share it with belief, like a little kid. Okay, let's turn to James, the 5th chapter. Whenever we have problems, whenever anything goes wrong in our lives, most of us understand that not only can we pray just ourselves and ask God for help, but we also have another special avenue that we can use. We can call the elders. This is something that he has set up. This is something that he actually tells us, this is what I want you to do. Okay? When things go wrong, when you have problems, when you're sick, when there's catastrophes in your life, when your mind is troubled, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call the elders. Why? Well, it says here, starting in the 13th verse of chapter 5 of James, if is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Call for the elders. That's their job. It's not just to preach. It's not just to serve the sacrament, but it's also to administer to us. That's one of the things they're supposed to do. Because he picked them. Because he knew that they had enough faith, like David, to get the job done. To go ahead and pray for something that seems impossible to the rest of the world. But they know, because it's in their hearts, that Jesus will do it. And not only is he going to take care of the problem, he's going to forgive whoever it is that's getting anointed at that time of all of their sins. You're going to get healed spiritually, clean slate, become like a little child again. And you're going to get healed physically and mentally, whatever the problem is. As long as you're willing to ask for the help. And to be willing to ask for the help, you got to have a little bit of belief. You don't have to have a whole lot of belief, just a little, just enough to call and say, I don't feel good. Would you please come and administer to me? Just believe a little bit and then see what happens and then believe a lot. That's why he raised Lazarus from the dead. Martha had a problem. Her brother had died. She called for Jesus. He came, took care of the problem. She believed. So did Mary. All right, let's turn to the third book of Nephi. We're getting close. Chapter 8. I'm going to start at the 46th verse. Okay, these are the words of Jesus Christ. This is some of the more of the instructions that he wants us to do, besides just believe and call for the elders. Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people which do repent and are baptized in my name. A couple of commandments in there. All right. Pray always, so you don't be tempted by the devil and be led away captive by him. And pray together as a church for each other and all of your problems. Okay. Together, whenever you get the chance, not at the baseball game Sunday morning, not at the football game Sunday morning, not in front of the TV Sunday morning, but together as a church on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Okay? He wants us to be together. It doesn't have to be in a building, it can be outside, but he still wants us to get together. And not just once a year or once a month, but often. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you, when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Behold, ye have seen that I have prayed unto the Father, and ye all have witnessed, and ye see that I have commanded that none of you should go away, but rather have commanded that ye should come unto me, that ye might feel and see. Even so shall ye do unto the world, and whosoever breaketh this commandment suffereth himself to be led into temptation. If God has done a miracle for you, and you don't share it, and you don't let all your friends and people that you're with know about it, what good has it done if you keep it all to yourself? Nothing. It doesn't do you any good. You're going to feel good for a little bit, and then in a couple months you're going to get sick again. That's just the way the world works. So what good was that miracle? There was no good in it because you're not willing to share it. You're just like one of those greedy little kids that wants to keep all the candy to himself. The rest of the world needs it. All the rest of those kids out there want a piece of candy. You got to share. Let's turn to Moroni, 6th chapter. I know that we have all heard this. Starting at the 6th verse. And the church did meet together oft, just like he was telling them there in 3rd Nephi, to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Not just to hear me standing up here spewing all this out, but to get together as a group, as a family, and let everybody know what's going on with your life, what Jesus has done for you, the prayers that have been answered, the things that God has done, the miracles that he has wrought for you. Or if you need prayers, let us all know and we'll pray together. But we're supposed to do it often. And I'm not saying that I expect to see you all here 4 times a day. Okay? Because there's Sunday school, morning service, Spanish service, and evening service. I don't expect you all to be here all the time. I don't expect to see you every Wednesday. That's not me, okay? What he wants is he wants us to get here as often as we possibly can to help each other. He would love it if we showed up for everything. But he knows that it's not always possible. But he still wants us to try. Okay? And they were strict to observe that there should be no iniquity among them, and whoso was found to commit iniquity, and three witnesses of the church did condemn them before the elders. And if they repented not and confessed not, their names were blotted out, and they were not numbered among the people of Christ. But, okay, as oft as they repented and sought forgiveness with real intent, they were forgiven. And he hugged them, just like a dad. And he expects us to forgive them and hug them too. Not say, you're bad. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to sit next to you. I'm going to sit on the other side of the church because you were bad. No. Because if you're going to be that way, he's going to turn around and not want to look at your face because he's ashamed of you. Because you're not doing what he does. You got to forgive. Because he expects us to treat everyone just like he treats us. Not like we want to be treated by others, but he expects us to treat everyone like he treats us. Better than we treat each other. He has more patience, more love, more forgiveness, more understanding than we can come up with. But he wants us to treat each other like he treats us. So we have to practice. And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done. Even to edify. Build up. Lift up. Lift each other up with your testimonies, your prayers, your songs, your smiles, your love, your compassion, your forgiveness, your belief. Let's go back to John. 14th chapter. Twelfth verse. Verily, these is Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Did you know that when David was anointed king of Israel, at that moment, he received the Holy Ghost? Did you know that? It talks about it in here. Well, in this book, sorry. He received God's Holy Spirit in him, and he had it with him the remainder of his days. He was anointed. Just like us. He had this comforter. the thing that gave him the faith to stand in front of Goliath. To not just stand there, but actually to run at Goliath with a sling, with a rock. Okay? The rock from a brook. The rock that God made. Just like the rocks that are going around this room. God knew what was in the rock. And he knew that it was perfect for knocking down the giant. But David had the faith because he had God's Spirit in him, in his heart. And he got God's Spirit in his heart because he believed. And he wanted to do what was right. Let's turn to the 15th chapter of John, and we'll start at the 12th verse. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And this is why we're here. This is why the world says today's Easter. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. He knows what's in our hearts. He really doesn't care how we look on the outside. Tall, short, blonde, brunette, white, red, yellow, black. He really doesn't care because he knows what's in our hearts. He just wants us to keep his commandments. He wants us to understand that he really does truly love us. Like the best friend you could ever imagine. And he wants us to treat each other that way. He laid down his life for us because he loves us that much. He wants us to understand that. He really does. He really wants you and me to understand today how happy he is that we have actually come here together again to worship him. And he is so thankful. And when we're sick and when we have problems, he wants us to call for the elders. He wants us to pray for each other. He wants to forgive us of our sins. But we have to ask him to. And if you have any doubts, if the world is putting any kind of doubts in your mind that he wants to do all of this for you, ask the people sitting next to you what he's done for them. And listen to it like a little kid. And then you'll get to feel his love. So, as you go home today, he wants you to think about what you believe. Do you really believe what's written? Do you believe it with all your heart? Because if you do, he's got a glorious prize, present, gift for you. And he wants to put it right in your heart and let it burst wide open. So you can feel it and smile and laugh and want to share it with all your friends. Just believe.